Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, listener mail. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I am Joe McCormick, and it's Monday, so we are bringing you a listener mail episode. This is the day of each week we read back messages from the Stuff to Blow Your Mind email address, which is contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com. A little announcement: for most of this week, we are going to be running episodes from the vault, because we're going to be out for a few days. So Tuesday and Thursday's core episodes this week will be vault episodes, and we will have a Weird House Cinema rewind for you on Friday. But today, it is all new listener mail messages. Let's see, Rob, do you mind if I jump right in with this message from Eden via Facebook?
Yeah, let's have it.
So this is in response to our Anthology of Horror episode, specifically my selection of a Kolchak the Night Stalker story, which concerned a type of Cajun bogeyman named Père Malfait, which is a monster, like a kind of plant-based Sasquatch. It is covered head to toe in Spanish moss, and Père Malfait in this episode would attack his victims by squeezing them to death. Now, I'm still not 100% certain on this because there are some sources that make claims to the contrary, but after pretty extensive digging, I came to the conclusion that Père Malfait is probably not a real figure from organic Cajun folklore, but something invented by the writers of the show, though based loosely on existing monsters from Cajun folktales, for example, the Rougarou. Of course, if you have any evidence to the contrary, if you do know of authentic from the people Père Malfait stories, please write in and let us know. I would love to be corrected on that. Eden writes in at the Facebook module to say, Père Malfait may be a television bogeyman, but Moss Man is a very real boogeyman, boogie spelled B-O-O-G-I-E in this case. So Eden says, the late great Steve Nicoud is how I think you would pronounce it. It's N-I-C-A-U-D. I think that would be Steve Nicoud. Used to dress head to toe in a costume of Spanish moss and a pair of sunglasses and would show up to Mardi Gras parades and such. A folk figure in his own right. While he was doing it after that episode of Kolchak, the idea of a Spanish moss bodysuit has surely occurred to many people independently throughout history. It just begs to be a costume. In fact, Moss Man is the name most used for anyone who wears Spanish moss as a costume. As far as I know, however, Nicoud was the only one to complete the look with a pair of sunglasses. Nicoud died in 2004, and there is little trace of his Moss Man on the internet. I can't find a single photograph of the man himself, but I submit these photos of my family's Mossman poster and kids coloring worksheet. And this is some kind of framed poster for party event or something, and it says Moss Man, and it shows a figure covered in Spanish moss with sunglasses on, and then in the background there's a convertible, like a car, that also looks like it's covered in Spanish moss with a bunch of trees or something poking out of it and an alligator driving the car. And the text on the poster says, "Moss is boss, the most partying dude you'll come across." And also there's a page from a coloring book here that seems to be a, I don't know, some kind of promotional item from the New Orleans Rhythm Run 1993. Then Eden says, "P.S. You should do an episode on Christmas witches. There are a lot of them, and Louisiana has a creepy one. I hope I'm saying this right. Madame Grandouille. The nice version of her has her using her long fingers to place gifts into children's Christmas stockings. The scary version has her living in the attic all year round, just waiting for children to misbehave so she can snatch them with her long fingers." Wow, oh, I did not know about that one. That's really good. So she never leaves. She's a Krampus that never leaves your house. She's always there.
She's like Gary Busey in that movie Hider in the House, where you have a secret Gary Busey living in your attic.
Well, thank you, Eden. I had no idea about the Moss Man, the Moss Boss, the most partying dude you'll come across. This is all new to me, and I like his vibe.
Yeah, this is great. I mean, this is one of, I haven't been down to New Orleans in a couple of years now. Hopefully, I'll go back next year. But I love all this like local New Orleans culture stuff. A lot of it, you know, tied up with Mardi Gras in a way that, you know, it doesn't really come through in the like the larger public conception of Mardi Gras, but you get like the early Mardi Gras parades, like the, you know, the different crews putting on their more localized parades that are often more political and, you know, focused on local politics. And then you have a lot of other cool stuff, like they always do a big Krampus, or at least they did in recent years. And I know that we actually heard from listeners who were associated with it or participated in it. So yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff that goes on down there. All right, this next one comes to us from Lurch. Lurch says, "Good morning, gentlemen. Listening to Search for Alien Live with Dr. Frank, he references a TV show, UFO, in a related Space 1999. UFO was a short-lived series produced by Gary Anderson, who also produced Space 1999, Thunderbirds, Captain Scarlet, Stingray, Fireball XL5, and a host of other wonderful, for Weird House values of wonderful, shows, my favorite being Space Precinct. In some shows, the actors were human. In others, they were marionettes. All of them featured beautiful, cheap model work. In my biased estimation, it's well worth the time it would take to binge-watch his entire library. Keep the gravy warm, Lurch."
Oh, and Rob, you should probably do this next message from Sean because it's on exactly the same subject in response to your interview with Adam Frank.
Sean writes in and says, "Hi, Rob. Love the interview, but I cannot believe you've never seen the Gary Anderson classic program UFO. Pretty hokey by today's standards, but I think the show would suit your aesthetic. The funk is strong in this one. There's a moon base of women with purple wigs just because. A submarine full of buff dudes in mesh shirts. If you haven't, I implore you as a longtime listener to check it out. Sean." All right. So UFO is a show that I do not think I've ever seen anything. I don't think I've ever watched any of it. I have watched Space 1999. I'm familiar in passing with some of these other series. But looking into it, looking at some of the stills, I've definitely seen stills of these purple headed ladies before, space ladies. And it does look like it might be a lot of fun. It also looks like maybe there have been some like recuts into something like a film, or maybe they made a UFO film at some point. I'll have to poke around a little bit more. Maybe there is something we could consider for Weird House in the future.
Oh, I had the wrong era in mind. For some reason, I was picturing this as a show like from the 90s, but I just pulled it up. Yeah, the moon base with the ladies with purple hair. This looks like 60s or 70s.
Yeah, Ed Bishop, I believe, was the lead on it, the lead actor, and he was in 2001 A Space Odyssey. He played the lunar shuttle captain.
Okay. Why do all of the moon dwellers have purple hair?
I don't know.
Something about being on the moon gives you purple hair?
I don't know. Why are they all gorgeous? I don't know. These things happen, especially in 60s science fiction.
Exposure to that moon radiation turns all original shades of hair purple.
Well, thanks for the recommendation. You know, I'll have to check this out at some point.
Okay, this next message is from Paul. It is in response to an older episode of ours, I guess maybe one that ran in the vault or something, on the three-pupiled eye. Paul writes, "Hi there, long-time listener, first-time emailer. I've been catching up on the back catalog of episodes, and I was certain that you'd mentioned something in your episode about the three-pupiled eye, but to my shock, you didn't. When Lance Henriksen was cast as the android bishop in the movie Aliens, he had a special set of contact lenses made to give him two pupils in each eye. But James Cameron said he looked just as ominous without the lenses, so they ended up not being used. Love the podcast, Paul." Oh, wow. Well, I was not aware of that, but that makes sense. Lance Henriksen has a heck of a stare.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great presence, so I can understand, you know, realizing, you know what, we're just going to trust, we're going to go with the actor on this one. We don't actually need to mess with the eyes. Though I can imagine it was a pretty cool-looking effect in its own way. But part of the appeal of Bishop is that you grow to see his humanity. So, mm-hmm. you know, any way you shake it, I feel like that was the right decision.
That's a good point. Yeah. So in Aliens, you come in biased against him because the android made by the same company in the previous mm-hmm. Alien movie was Ian Holm, and he like goes nuts and tries to kill Ripley to prevent her from destroying the alien or something. And so there's that whole thing. So you're expecting Bishop to be worse than he is. He turns out to be quite helpful and sympathetic. So maybe if he'd had two pupils, it would have been harder to sell that turn.
Yeah. All right. You know, we recently had some episodes about crossbows. I'm going to read one here. This one was sent to us on Discord. This is from Steve. Steve writes, "The crossbow episodes were great fun. What about Star Wars? If a blaster, like a gun, is the analogous weapon to the crossbow, and the lightsaber to the sword, is the blaster bad? Obi-Wan obviously thought so in his reference to a more civilized age of lightsaber combat, yet Han Solo is all about using blasters, as are the majority of the rebel soldiers. These are the kinds of hair-splitting questions that keep me up at night. Smiley face. Also, why did the Jedi never practice force-enhanced archery with lightsaber-esque arrows?" Steve.
Yeah, I mean, I think it does play into the convention in storytelling that there's something more honest or virtuous or noble about a sword or a handheld weapon. Even though we do see, the rebel soldiers have blasters and all that, and Han Solo uses a blaster. And though he's kind of a scoundrel, he's a good scoundrel. I guess the thing is there's two dimensions of distinction. One is good and evil, and then the other is more sort of like ground level fighter versus your knight, your elite, you know, that even the mm-hmm. Jedi are called knights. So the elite good guys use the sabers, though I guess the elite bad guys do as well.
Yeah, I mean, I guess obviously one of the things about Star Wars is it's a cinematic mashup. You've got elements of knights and swashbuckler movies. You have elements of war movies and elements of the Western, among other things, all smashed together. And so you have combating military ethics in all of this. But to lean into the lore, you know, it's like there is the nobility of the Jedi and all. And it's not like the Jedi don't do things at range. They use their voices at range. They can use Jedi mind tricks at range. They can use telekinesis at range. And if you are a follower of the dark side, other abilities open themselves up to you that may be used at range, including the lightsaber, of course. Darth Vader throws his lightsaber and has it come back to him. We see that in his final battle with Luke.
Oh, does he? I forgot about that. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't really pick up on it till my son and I started playing the Star Wars war game where you have a card for saber throw. And I was like, oh, yeah, saber throw. And Darth Vader's on the picture. And then when we rewatched the film, I'm like, oh, yeah, he totally throws his saber at one point during that battle.
That's weird that I forgot that happened.
Yeah, it's a solid battle. Solid battle.
here's my nerd brain working. I was thinking, wait, why am I aware that you can throw a lightsaber? I think I'm thinking about that from the Super Nintendo, Super Star Wars, or Super Empire Strikes Back game, where when you're playing as Luke and you gain force powers later in the game, one of them is that you can like throw your lightsaber and make it fly around the screen.
Yeah, it's become a staple of the video games for sure. You can still throw those sabers around in some of the recent installments. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use this directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
All right. Would you like to do some Weird House Cinema messages?
Sure. What do you got?
Let's see. Oh, here's one that we previously, several episodes back, featured the PS from this message without the main body. But this comes from Brian, and it's in response to the episode we did on Faster Pussycat Kill Kill. Brian says, I was enjoying Faster Pussycat Kill Kill a few weeks ago when I saw it on the feed, and I realized that I recognized Varla's voice. Varla is the main character in the film, sort of the main villain, played by the actress Tura Sitana. Mm. And she has, yeah, an extremely distinct voice and delivery style. She kind of like just venomously spits out every line she says in the movie, no matter how mundane.
A legend.
Yeah. Well, Brian goes on to say, so he recognized Varla's voice. He says, it wasn't because I had seen the movie, but because I grew up listening to White Zombie. Like most metal-loving teenagers who came of age in the early 90s, I was a big fan, and their major label debut, La Sexorcisto Devil Music Volume 1, Rob Zombie, and you're... in your title selections, is filled with exploitation, horror, and camp sound bites. Classics like, quote, "Do you have to open graves to find girls to fall in love with?" are so permanently fixed in my brain, they sometimes just fall out during conversation. In the days before lyrics and audio were easy to search and discover, we spent many fun weekends trading rumors and stories about where these audio clips came from. And then I think as an example, like, quote, "My friend told me there's a horror movie that his cousin saw that contained the clips in Thunderkiss." and I think that's one of the songs. It was like Thunderkiss 65 or something.
Yeah, that's the...
Yeah. This would lead us to search out these movies and sparked an interest in classic horror that many of us carry to this day. It's now common knowledge that Rob Zombie grew up a fan of classic horror and exploitation films, so there's not much mystery anymore, but it's still fun to be watching something like Faster Pussycat and be able to recite, "I never try anything, I just do it," as it comes on the screen. Thanks for the trip down memory lane. Well, yeah, I appreciate this note, Brian. Whatever your full thoughts about Rob Zombie's output as a filmmaker and musician, I think it's hard to deny that his movie audio clip selection game is powerful.
Yeah. And I really should have mentioned it because I think, you know, I mean, I listened to White Zombie and Rob Zombie back in the day as well. And there are a number of clips like this that ultimately were my first exposure to some of these movies. I just didn't know what the sound bites were from. But I've always been a sucker for this. Whether you're dealing with metal, you know, whether you're dealing with, you know, White Zombie or Electric Wizard, or you're dealing with various DJs, you know, Depth Charge, DJ Food, DJ Chiba, Wax Factor, a lot of these guys, Pete Sasquatch, you know, I always love someone who doesn't just, you know, go in and get a few clips, a couple of easy clips. Anybody can sample Blade Runner and it's great fun. I like the DJs and the musicians who go deeper, you know, and they unearth that little sample that for the longest, especially before, you know, the resources were that robust online, you just had no idea where they got it. They got it from another dimension. And within the texture of a song or a mix, it takes on new energy and meaning.
It is one of the ways that, like, the abundance of information and media made available by the internet has made some types of experiences less special. I think we've talked on the show before about how, like, you know, the easy availability of any piece of music you could want to listen to now sometimes makes it feel less special when you discover a piece of music you like. And also, like, even though I do appreciate being able to look up where any clip of audio comes from, in other cases, like, I miss that mystery of not being able to look that up and just having it, yeah, just be something out of the ether.
I think there are still some mysteries out there with some samples, with maybe some of the less cataloged groups. Yeah. Occasionally I'll run across a sample and something and I'm like, wow, I can't figure out what this is from. Good job. You found something obscure. All right. Here's another Weird House Cinema missive. This one comes to us from Richard. Richard says, "Hi, Robert and Joe. I have a couple of suggestions for Weird House Cinema movies for your consideration. The first is, and I hope I'm saying this correctly, the title is RRR, or am I supposed to go, I'm not sure.
I think it's an acronym, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Because I have friends who've mentioned this one to me, but only over text, and I don't think I've seen any media about it, so I'm not sure how I'm supposed to tackle it. Anyway, Richard continues. It's a larger-than-life action-slash-historical-drama-slash-musical Tollywood film written and directed by S.S. Rajamouli. I thought of it immediately when I was listening to your episode on Piranha Mandir. I had the good fortune of seeing RRR not once but twice in the theater, cranked up to full volume, and was absolutely captivated by it. It's like a remix of Lawrence of Arabia, Indiana Jones, Die Hard, and a capital F for family, Fast and Furious Bromance. Wow. It's one of the greatest movie-going experiences of my life, and I highly recommend watching it even if you don't watch it for the show."
Oh, I'd be all for doing a Tollywood film at some point. So yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, everyone seemed to love this one. I think it got a number of awards. I have friends who watched it and really loved it. You know, I've heard praise from folks that don't even watch a lot of films from India. So it just seems to have like wide appeal. And I want to say there's somebody of note. Ray Stevenson is in it. He plays like a villain or something.
Oh, okay.
In one of his final performances. So, yeah, I'd be interested to check that one out at some point. The second, he continues, is pure Weird House gold, The Happiness of the Katakuris, from extremely prolific Japanese filmmaker Takashi Miike, a kind of remake of the South Korean movie The Quiet Family. While he has a number of pictures that would fit comfortably on the Weird House list, Happiness of the Katakuris is still one of my favorites. Part comedy, part horror, part family drama, and with a healthy dose of musical numbers and claymation scenes added in, it is fun, highly watchable, and very weird. Thanks as always for the podcast. I've been listening to you all for several years and look forward to every iteration of the show throughout the week. All the best, Richard.
Well, Richard, thank you for the recommendations and the kind words. Yes, I have. Somehow I've never seen Happiness of the Katakuris, but I've heard it. It's been recommended to me, I feel like, all my life since I was like a teenager. People have been saying, Joe, you've got to see this movie. And for some reason, I never have yet. But what I've always heard about it is that it's great and it is super bizarre.
Yeah, I think I almost saw it several times. It's one of those movies where it's long been on my radar because I went through a phase where I did watch several Miike films, though I tended at the time I was more into like, all right, give me the horror, give me the brutal world of cinema. So I watched Audition, which is terrific and very well crafted, but also just very a very rough watch in many respects. And I also watched Ichi the Killer. That was another one that, you know, everybody was into back in the day. And that one's hard to watch in many places. But on the other hand, I also remember watching his yokai film. What was it? The Great Yokai War, which is a kind of goofy family yokai movie. And that was the one that opened up my mind to the fact that, oh yeah, this is a filmmaker that paints with more than one color. You know, he has a vast palette that he can use. And just international fans don't necessarily realize everything that he offers.
Yeah, I'd be really interested in seeing more Miike films that don't involve just like high doses of awfulness and torture. Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe the Happiness of the Katakuris is in our future. Or we look at that yokai film. I'd be open to either one.
Sounds great. I'm game.
Just probably not Audition, right? Watch that one on your own time.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Let's see. Should we wrap it up there?
Yeah, we'll go ahead and put a cap on it here. But we'd love to hear from everyone out there if you have thoughts about current, future, or past episodes of Stuff to Blow Your Mind, Weird House Cinema, you name it. You can reach out to us via email. We'll share that in a second. We also mentioned in this episode that somebody had reached out on Facebook. Well, they did that over the discussion module. That's our group. You can find us there. You can also just follow us on Facebook if you like. We're on Instagram. That's STBYM Podcast on Instagram. And I also mentioned Discord. If you would like access to our Discord server to interact with other fans and other listeners, well, you can just email us and we'll send you the link so that you can join up there.
Huge thanks, as always, to our excellent audio producer, JJ Posway. If you would like to get in touch with us with feedback on this episode or any other, to suggest a topic for the future, or just to say hello, you can email us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com.
Stuff to Blow Your Mind is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL Schedule Release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.